Hello and welcome to the J-Rod Tour Pod with me, James Robson.
And me, Ollie Dix.
So today, Ollie and I are going to be having a quick look back at what I would say was a bit of a frenetic Stage 13 in the Tour de France, with lots of attacking, lots of interesting developments in the GC, and a stage winner that many people haven't heard of, but might be a star for the future. So let's jump straight into the conversation that Ollie and I are having about Stage 13 of the Tour de France. Right, so Ollie, let's start with Daniel Martinez then, because he won the Critérium du Dauphiné, which is sort of considered the main shakedown before the Tour, but he only really did that because Primoz Roglic, who was in yellow at the time, dropped out of that race. So, I mean, still a strong showing before the Tour de France and looked to be in fine form. Don't think he was going to be a genuine GC contender for this race. So it's good for him to get a stage victory like that, and someone who I think flies under the radar a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you don't like to maybe like group them together, but like when Colombian riders are good, they are very good. Just because of the like conditions and the altitude in which they live and grow up in, you know, they spend most of their life above 2,000 feet above altitude.
2,000 meters.
That's what I meant. Yeah, very different.
Yeah.
So like it's, yeah, like it's very impressive, and he did look at home. What I also thought was good was that actually like it's the first time we've seen EF like Team EF Pro Cycling like make a big point on the stage, I feel, and like it was nice to see them like up towards the top and up like competing in a race.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I say it was a frenetic stage because at the start there were lots of different people attacking, trying to get a sort of solid breakaway together. I mean, eventually there was a sort of 17-man breakaway that formed and rode a large part of the distance together. But in the end, it basically came down to Martinez and Bora Hansgrohe's rider called Kamna, who were cycling up the final climb together. And twice it was Kamna tried to kick clear of Martinez, especially in the last 2K. But I mean, 15% gradient, if you're going to back someone, it's going to be a very light Colombian rider, isn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure. And what I enjoyed about this stage was that, like we saw from the day before, when teams can put like multiple riders up the road, it really increases the possibility of them doing well. And I like Bora Hansgrohe did that, like you said, with Kamna and Shackman. And I think there was another EF Pro Cycling Team rider with Martinez up the road as well. So, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's great for him, but I think it's so hard to look at this stage and not feel the urge to talk about Bernal.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the big story moving forward. Is it was a crack that we saw in Egan Bernal, because the GC contenders were essentially kicking up that last climb together. And in the end, Primoz Roglic and Tadej Pogacar came across the line together. But Egan Bernal, you know, lost 38 seconds to Roglic, so he's now down.
He's only third.
Yeah, he's third. Pogacar's overtaken him, and he's 59 seconds down. That's not, you know, at stage 13, that's not an insurmountable difference by any means. And I think that stage up to Mirabel is going to be the big one for him, because that's when we start going up above 2,000 meters in altitude, and it's the only time that we get into that super high, like super super high climb.
What intrigued me in a large amount is, I think obviously Ineos had Sivakov up the road like early doors, and that meant that they kind of ignored any responsibilities for the peloton, like throughout the main bit of the race, and then on the penultimate climb, they seem to just burn through riders, like climbing up there, and actually, like, and then at some point, Carapaz attacked, and it was a bit like, oh, you've, like, why would Carapaz attack there? Like, you've just left Bernal on his own around a very, very strong Jumbo-Visma team.
So I think why Carapaz attacked there is because he, if the GC riders went with Carapaz, then they'd drag Bernal up to Carapaz. And if Carapaz could get out to 30 seconds, then it meant that the contenders in that group were tired. And so if Bernal kicked on, they probably wouldn't go with him. So that's why you chuck someone out the front, so that there's an acceleration to try and kill your rivals, just to get back up to that person.
So you think Carapaz was almost a test run?
Yeah. But, I mean, the problem with doing that against Primoz Roglic is you had Sepp Kuss and Tom Dumoulin suddenly just increase the pace and be fine.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got a team that strong, it doesn't really matter what tactics you're playing, because at the end of the day, they're just going to be a bit quicker.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think whilst we talk about Roglic looking very strong, I am most excited by Pogacar. He's the one that it always seems to be willing to attack, and always seems to be the one, like, willing to go for it, and then, like, people go with him. And I think we think back to maybe, was it 3 or 4 stages ago, where actually he'd lost like over 2 minutes, and then he was allowed to go up the road, none of the GC guys went with him, and actually now he's in a bit of a position where, you know, well, he's second on the podium, which I think is an incredible position for him to be in, like, such a young rider still.
He's the rider that excites me the most in the Tour.
Yeah.
Because this is someone who could change the cycling hierarchy immediately. He's that good. And the other thing that I think is obviously it's easy to think this, but he seems to be doing it more on his own than the other GC contenders. He seems to have less of a established team around him to drag him over the line.
Yeah, he seems to just sit on the back of those bigger GC teams, like trains, and UAE are the ones that tend to try and get him the breakaway, like, quite often, and then he's the one that, like, he's almost left on his own, it seems, like, very quietly just goes about his business, doesn't get dropped by anyone, and then actually it's I feel good now, this is a good place for me, like, let's go. And I think that's exciting, like, someone who could do that.
Yeah. And from someone who's so exciting for us, is, you know, let's turn our attentions to two people who were a big disappointment today, and that were the Frenchmen, Guillaume Martin and Romain Bardet, because, I mean, they were third and fourth overall, respectively, and are now out of the top 10. And if we're being brutal, their GC hopes are over.
Yeah, I think what we forget is that Roglic was only in yellow at the moment because of bonus seconds, not because of, like, actually any... Today was the first time, like, he out and out went and put seconds in between himself and the other riders, obviously with Pogacar. And I think so that actually brings us into the scenario where a lot of the guys who are in that main GC bunch, like, you know, Quintana, like Landa, even Richie Port, like, these are guys, and like you said, like Bardet and Martin, guys that have pretty much just been in the main peloton. We haven't seen the GC guys really been separated that much. So I think we will see a changing leaderboard quite frequently now as attacks start to happen more frequently.
Yeah. But, I mean, you do have to feel for them, because this was a tour that I thought would be really good. I mean, in some ways I was rooting for a French rider to win, like your Romain Bardet, like your Guillaume Martin. I mean, Julian Alaphilippe as well.
Do you think because we were so excited from Alaphilippe from last year?
Yeah, but also because there wasn't an out-and-out British favourite for me to cheer for.
Yeah, that's
like, fair. Obviously I want Egan Bernal to win because I'm a fan of Ineos. but it my relationship to him is not the same as it is to Geraint Thomas or Chris Froome,
yeah,
or Bradley Wiggins. Those sort of that British feeling. So
yeah,
I think it's sad, and France will have to continue to wait for their next tour champion, because it's been, I think, far too long, really.
I agree.
But then looking forward to tomorrow's stage, because
it's another long one.
It is another long one, 194K, but this is not a summit finish. We're starting in Clermont-Ferrand and finishing in Lyon. We've got a Cat 2 climb early doors. That starts about 45K in. And then we've just got a couple of Cat 3s and Cat 4s. I think this will be a
stage for a breakaway, isn't it?
This is a stage for a breakaway, yeah. And I think it's going to be a stage for one of those stronger climbing breakaways, if that makes sense. Like, right, someone who's got something more than the, you know, someone who's more of an all-round package than, say, your Cosnefroys, who are going for just the mountain points.
Well, and he got dropped today as well.
Yeah. But, you know, those kind of riders who are just there for the polka dot jersey, it strikes me more as for those all-rounders. I mean, this could be a day that you see Julian Alaphilippe tearing it up, because the guy can descend really well. And if he can get a teammate up the road, you never know what happens with him.
Yeah, and I think we'll start to see some... I think teams... And I'm not saying teams didn't realise it was possible, but with what Sunweb did with Hirschi, and then we saw today with Bora Hansgrohe and EF Pro Cycling, getting two guys up the road so that someone can join them later on. I think there's a bit of a template now that teams have seen success with that over the past 2 days, and a very possible stage for that to happen again.
Also, the fact that stage 15 on Sunday is 174K, with two Category 1 climbs and a beyond categorisation climb mountain finish up the Grand Colombier. So
it's hard to imagine any GC contenders making any big moves tomorrow, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how the peloton reacts to an early breakaway, and if someone who's on the fringes of a GC race,
yeah,
how the peloton reacts to that.
No, that's interesting. I think as well, like, we're going to see, I know obviously it's not tomorrow, but on Sunday I think we are going to see some massive cracks form, and I think some people really push themselves to the limit, especially looking forward to Monday being a rest day.
Are you worried about Bernal?
I think you have to be. I think the only thing I would say is that we didn't worry about him at this stage last time. Like, he was further back last time than he is now, and I think, like, people go through peaks and troughs in the tour. If he cracks again on Sunday, then I will be very worried, yes, because then I think you're almost giving too much of a margin up for what seems to be two very informed Slovenian riders. But if I'm being honest, I don't think it's just Bernal. I think the Ineos team looks quite dysfunctional this year. And I think that's where the, like, cracks have formed deeply, rather than, you know, Bernal's had to do more already than he probably ever would have if he was a typical GC guy for Team Ineos.
I think that, I mean, this is one of those things. So I think that where before the race started, Ineos and Dave Brailsford and everyone involved would have sat down and gone, the 13th of September until Thursday the 17th of September, that's the tour.
Yeah.
That's where we have to be right. And this was an effort that looked hard early on in that, and a little bit before that, but, you know, I think they'll be, you know, I back them to be contenders and formidable opponents in that little stage there.
Yeah, I just hope they can get some kind of rhythm going. That's all. That's all I'm looking for.
Right, so thank you very much for listening to that episode of the J-Rod Tour Pod. Now, obviously, we've got our pod tour pods coming out over the weekend, and we are looking forward to getting back on the J-Rod Sports Pod after a packed weekend of live sport, as well as the J-Rod Formula One Pod with special guest host Sam Corty coming out next week. But until then, please make sure that you be a friend and tell a friend about the J-Rod Sports Pod.